Okay. Let the record show it is Thursday, August the 27th, and this is the Internal Affairs meeting. So let's call this meeting to order. Let's start off with item number one. Crickets. Who's doing attachment number one?
Good morning again, Commissioners.
I have to adjust my chair.
It looks like a little kid's chair. Much better. Good morning again, Commissioners. Bob Casey on behalf of staff. On June 22, 2015, the FCC released its second further notice of proposed rulemaking addressing the Universal Service Lifeline Program. Among other issues, the FCC is seeking comment on the following: whether to set a budget for the Lifeline program, whether to limit the number of programs through which consumers qualify for Lifeline, whether the ETC designation process should be streamlined by having only the FCC designate companies as ETCs instead of states and the FCC, how best to ensure that the FCC has sufficient checks and safeguards to address potential waste, fraud, and abuse, how the FCC may best facilitate coordinated enrollment, whether and to what extent to include state database consumer privacy protections, whether the non-usage period of Lifeline subscribers should be changed from 60 days to 30 days, and finally, whether the 925 interim reimbursement rate should be made permanent. Staff draft comments encourage the FCC to consider the PSC's comments on these 8 issues, and staff is seeking Commission approval to file the draft comments with the FCC by August 31st. Staff is available for questions.
Commissioners, any questions of staff on these draft comments? Commissioner Brown.
Thank you. I want to thank staff for preparing these comments for us. August 31st is when the FCC needs these comments submitted by?
Yes, Commissioner.
And what are the reply comments?
That would be September 30th.
Okay. And we'll have an opportunity, or that's?
We'll have an opportunity if we choose to. We could read the initial comments, and if we believe that we should comment on any of those, we can do the reply comments.
The only thing that jumped out at me was the 60 days to 30 days. And it's a personally, my grandmother, she used to have a phone, and she would use her phone maybe once every 2 months, 3 months, and she would use it sometimes for a period of 4 months. And I'm curious, how many users are elderly on the Lifeline, and do we have those statistics, and how many folks? I'm just wondering why you got from the 60 days to the 30 days, or the FCC is recommending that.
The FCC has recommended that, and I believe we should go along with it.
Why do you believe that we should go along with it?
Because the way that works with the non-usage period, right now it's 60 days of non-usage. If there is 60 days of non-usage, the ETC has to notify that customer either by text or mail and give them 30 days to reply saying, yes, I still have the phone and still using it. So essentially that 60-day non-usage period goes to 90 days. So essentially this 30-day would go to 60 days.
Do we have numbers supporting that, the conversion from non-usage? The reason why the staff recommendation says is that it's to eliminate any unnecessary reimbursement from the Universal Service Fund. Do we have any numbers to support what that is?
We did initially. Florida was one of the first commissions. We're one of three commissions that got together and said, what happens if a Lifeline customer takes that phone and throws it in a drawer or throws it in a garbage can, and the company still keeps collecting from the Universal Service Fund every month, $9. Back then it was $10.
But a lot of users probably don't use it. I mean, going back to the elderly folks, you know, right. they get on these Lifeline phones and they use them once every 2 months or for emergency purposes only. And then they have to re-enroll. If you cut it back to 30 days, they're going to have to re-enroll if they don't use it.
No, they won't have to re-enroll. What they'll do is they'll send a letter out just asking for confirmation that you still are using your Lifeline phone and are still qualified.
They only send the letter. They don't do any other type of communication.
Well, they'll try a number of things. They'll try text. If text can't get through, they'll try a letter.
I think your response does make sense. It's just one of the things that jumped out at me in the recommendation.
Yeah.
Do any of the commissioners have any other?
Nope.
All right. Makes sense to me.
Is that a motion?
Just a comment.
Commissioner Breeze.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the other elements of this that I really like, as a matter of fact, is number five, is the idea of having automatic de-enrollment or unenrollment. And if we go to the, if the FCC agrees and moves forward with coordinated enrollment, it just makes sense for the automatic de-enrollment to occur that way as well, so therefore the process is more efficient, or the program becomes more efficient in that way. So I'm glad that these were included in these comments, because that's something that at FCC, at NARUC, we've been talking about for quite a while now. So I'm glad that we've incorporated those in our comments. And with respect to the 30-day to 60-day to 90-day, so the 30-day is virtually 60-day. The 60-day is virtually 90 days. So with that, I think if we submit our comments saying that we are in support of what the FCC is trying to do with the 30-day, if we pay attention to the reply comments and there is something compelling in there that allows us to take a second look at that, then we can make comments with respect to that then. Okay, with that, Mr. Chairman, I move acceptance of this language.
It's been moved and second the approval of staff's draft comments. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. You've approved the staff's draft. Item number two or three, whatever reads like in your agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, you have before you the proposed legislative budget request for fiscal 16 and 17 in the amount of $24,797,000. That represents a reduction of approximately 1.3% from the fiscal 15-16 adjusted operating budget. We've got two issues. One is a staff reduction in vacancies in the amount of $338,000 in savings from reduction to the budget. And the second is a request for $60,000 of non-recurring funds for vehicle replacement. Pretty straightforward, and we're looking for consensus from you all. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Well, the only first thing I have to tell you is, now that I've hit the ripe age of 50, this print just a bit small.
Duly noted, sir. I join you in that, actually.
Commissioner Egger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do note that this is not before us for a vote, but just as a briefing item. And in a prior professional life, I spent a lot of time working within the legislative budgeting and agency budgeting and appropriations process. And I know, of course, Commissioner Brzee and Commissioner Petronas, you've been very involved in those processes over the years from the other side as the actual appropriator, where I was just the one begging for money on behalf of the agency that I had the joy of working for and representing. So with this, I would say that I appreciate our executive director and our staff bringing this before us and for the work that they do, but I also note that this is a very, very early stage in a much longer process.
Yes.
And it's based on projections of revenue and estimates and all of that. So I applaud our staff for the work that they do on this, but I would ask that we recognize that this is an early stage and that there will be changes and adjustments, and that I view this as a draft, and that we are basically, again, being briefed on this and asking our staff to move forward. But I recognize that there may be adjustments to the specific, to the specific numbers as the process moves forward.
You're correct, Commissioner, and I think they're one of our requests for consensus obviously would include some leave to be able to make adjustments. This is in light of the fact that we've had 30 days lopped off our normal filing time, we've had to move relatively fast, and this was the last opportunity for us to get the framework for a budget request before you for consensus. So Commissioner Edgar's right in pointing out that this could move a little. I think we've got, as you can see, all the major portions of the budget pretty well nailed down. There may be a couple of things that would require jiggering, but I would always commit to you that if there's anything material, obviously, if we're going in a different direction, that I'd make sure and come and let you all know and seek consensus that way. So we're not going to blindside you with any major changes. In fact, we don't anticipate any. There are just maybe a couple of smaller items that we need to, or minor issues that we need to work on yet, might get some more fine-tuning. So I appreciate your leave to do that.
Commissioner Edgar.
So with that said, Commissioners, I would ask that we basically, again, not vote on this, but bless the staff moving forward within the process. But I know I'm going to continue to have questions about some of the specific numbers as the estimates and projections tend to move, as is part of the process, but that we give our staff direction to move forward, but recognize the numbers may change somewhat.
Well, then, Raleigh, I think you see that you have the general consensus that you're looking for.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Does that conclude your report?
That concludes.
Other matters. Is there anything to come before us? Seeing none, we are adjourned. Enjoy your day. Travel safe.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, we do have, now that we have concluded this business on the calendar, we do have a special agenda item that is a panel with me and Commissioner Brzee and Commissioner Petronas. And with your leave, Mr. Chairman, I would ask that we convene that at, does 12:10 work for you, gentlemen? Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 11.
11:10? It's tomorrow. 11:10, does that work? All right, thank you very much.